God is a good God. Amen? Amen. I know many of you are looking at me and say, well, you're wearing a suit. Yeah. Well, you know, it's my Thanksgiving suit, and I always want to wear one on Thanksgiving. No, just actually, I got two events I have to do today. I got a luncheon here in Tulsa, then I'm going to another event in Enid tonight, and I was going to wear a suit to both those events, so why not wear a suit to church? You know, I mean, obviously, it's okay. Plus, I look good in a suit anyway, so, you know, so it's okay to wear a suit every once in a while, you know. You know, it is interesting because probably from the time I was like 18 till whatever, I mean, I wore a suit every day. So it was, you know, after a while you kind of get tired of wearing suits. I mean, I had like 12 suits in my closet, and that's all I did was wear suits. But so as you wear suits all the time, sometimes you like not to wear suits. But praise God, God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, here at Rhema Bible Church, we believe, you know, in being more traditional, and we believe that each and every holiday, we should preach about the holiday and talk about the holiday, you know, and obviously, the holiday coming up is Thanksgiving, you know, and really, when you start thinking about Thanksgiving, it's really the beginning of our religious heritage here in the United States of America, because you know, we are and still are, even though they're trying to take it away from us, we are one nation under God. Amen. And it all started back with the pilgrims. I mean, we have to realize the whole reason that this country was founded was for religious freedom. And our founding fathers made sure in the Declaration of Independence and later on the Constitution that religious freedom was to be established and to be continued for generation after generation. You know, and so it's very important to go back. And a lot of times, you know, we want to forget about history. In fact, I did read this morning that there are a number of colleges that are pushing that we should get rid of the Thanksgiving holiday. Because it was a myth what happened on Thanksgiving, you know. Well, they actually said that because the pilgrims, they had Thanksgiving times all the time, so it wasn't a special Thanksgiving and, you know, whatever. So anyway, you know, part of the cancel culture. But, you know, I'm going to talk about the history of Thanksgiving because not everybody studies this in school. I mean, especially now that the schools are like, well, who cares? Didn't really happen that way. And so I actually noticed that the last time that I preached on Thanksgiving was here at Rhema Bible Church was 1995. And so I talked about some things of the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, which is not your traditional Thanksgiving dinner that you have. But, you know, Thanksgiving actually began when the pilgrims, you know, sometimes whenever we think the word pilgrim, we just think about guys in weird hats or ladies, you know, and, you know, you know, whatever. Or we think about John Wayne, you know, you have to watch it, you know. Anyway, but back in September of 1620, a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, all right, carrying 102 passengers, you know, and they were an assortment of religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith. See, the reason they came to America was to worship God as they pleased. Amen. And I tell you what, I mean, you know, here, you know, in modern times, it seems that they want us to worship God as they please, not as we please. But we should, you know, this nation was founded as a place to come and worship in the way that we please to worship. Now, some people, you know, they want to worship one way or another way, you know, but, you know, it should be our choice, all right, to worship God the way we please. And so, you know, it says it took them 66 days to come to America. Originally, they actually dropped anchor near Cape Cod, and then they moved across, you know, they crossed the Massachusetts Bay where they settled in a place called Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, interesting. They left Plymouth, England, and then they left Plymouth to start Plymouth. All right? And, you know, what happened was is that they landed, you know, they got there in November, and it was wintertime. And so you have to realize, anyone ever watched the show Survivor? All right? You know, or I guess even a better show, which we don't want to talk about this in church, but I'm going to talk about it, is Naked and Afraid. You know, because the only reason I'm talking about it is not the naked part, all right, or the afraid part. It's just the fact that the first thing you do is you build shelter and things like that. Well, when the winter's going on, it's really hard to get shelter built and things like that. In fact, it was a very brutal winter. And so most of the colonists remained on the Mayflower during that first winter. And so it says that in March, that's when most of them moved off to the boat, and half of them had died during the wintertime. So it was a brutal winter. But you know what? Thank God that springtime they began to plant, and then they harvested a great harvest. And that's why we had the very first Thanksgiving. They were giving thanks to God for getting them through the brutal winter, to get them into the new land, and then they were thanking God for the harvest. You know, and a lot of times it seems that Thanksgiving now isn't necessarily about thanking God, it's about getting ready for Christmas. You know, because even as the sales have, you know, they you know, what's it called, the Friday after Thanksgiving? Black Friday. I shouldn't say, you know, that's not a racial thing, by the way. I just want to let everyone know. That's just something the reason that that's said Black Friday is because they say that stores actually all the way until November, they're in the red. They're not making any money. But starting in the day after Thanksgiving, that's when they only really make money for December and a little bit of November, and that's why it's called black, meaning they're making money or whatever. I'm not sure that Amazon fits in that category because they seem to make money all the time, mainly because of the laziness of people like us that would rather get it delivered to us instead of going out to the mall. But, you know, it seems that sometimes that people think that Thanksgiving is about turkey, football, maybe family, hopefully not fighting with your family, and then getting ready to go shopping. I mean, you know, but Thanksgiving should be a time to thank God for everything that he's done in our life. But you know what? True Thanksgiving shouldn't only happen once a year. True Thanksgiving should happen continuously over and over again. Now, I brought this up, you know, in 1995, and I'm going to bring it up again. The traditional Thanksgiving dinner, because everybody, you know, talks about, oh, I can't wait for the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Well, if you want to have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, Thanksgiving, first of all, just to let you know, kind of give you history. Obviously, we know about the Pilgrims. It was the Pilgrims and the Indians, or I guess we call them indigenous people now, whatever you want, whatever is politically correct, but they were... At the time of Thanksgiving, it says there were 53 pilgrims left. Remember, 102 left on the Mayflower. Well, you realize that babies are born as well, so probably more, there was also babies born, but only 53 were left. And then during the first Thanksgiving, and 90 Wampanoag, something like that, Indians, all right? So anyway, the first Thanksgiving lasted for 3 days. All right, so that means you can eat Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay, just want to let you know. And so the traditional Thanksgiving dinner actually contained turkey, and then other common, things like waterfowl, venison, which is deer meat for some of you who don't know what venison is. Of course, the common Thanksgiving bass, they had fish, lobster, clams. Everyone has lobster and clams for Thanksgiving, right? I mean, but you have to understand where they were. You know, you have to understand, Massachusetts, maybe if I lived in Massachusetts, I would have Thanksgiving lobster as well. But anyway, they had venison fish, lobsters, clams, berries, fruits, and pumpkin. But they said they probably didn't have pumpkin pie. They also had squash. All right, so that's traditional Thanksgiving dinner. So make sure you get you some venison, some fish, some lobster, some clam, and some berries. All right. Now, some people say, well, that's probably where we get the cranberry salad, you know, from berries. Now, I know your traditional Thanksgiving dinner might be a little bit different than that. And it doesn't matter. You know what? I don't care, you know, what you eat on Thanksgiving. The part is not what you eat. The part about, you know, Thanksgiving shouldn't be about eating food. Thanksgiving should be about giving thanks to God for everything that he's done for us. Also being thankful for our family. You know, and I believe the older we get, you know, I know the older I get, the more thankful I am for my family, you know, and, you know, I probably got more, you know, I'm thankful for my wife that actually married me, you know, and puts up with me. You know, I'm thankful for my kids, my three boys that are here that, you know, they've become fine young men, you know, and, you know, now they're marrying and, you know, find, you know, they're, you know, getting older. I'm thankful for my four stepkids, you know, that I'm able to be a mentor to them and a second father to them as well. Of course, very thankful for my grandkids. You know, I just had another grandson. I have four grandkids, five actually now. Sixth one's going to be, Haven's going to be born in January. I'm thankful for that. My little girl, Lakin, is like, you know, she lives with us. I'm raising her like a daughter. Today happens to be her birthday. She's 8 years old today, you know, and so I'm thankful for her. You know, I'm thankful for my parents. You know, and the older I get, and as I watch other, you know, as I, you know, attend other funerals and things like that, and people losing their parents, I'm thankful for my parents that have trained me right. And I'm thankful for you guys. You know, first of all, I'm thankful for, you know, how kind you are to my parents. And you know, you guys are so wonderful. I'm thankful for you guys, you know, being accepting to myself and my sister and our family as we continue on, you know, this church here at Rhema. You know, obviously, you know, Dad's getting older. I don't know if you realize that. Mom's getting older. She hadn't realized that yet. And you probably noticed he's preaching a little less, but that's okay. You know, it's okay. I know that my grandfather, whenever he reached a certain age, he said, I'm going to preach what I want to preach, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's what he did. All right. Sometimes we did more meetings. Sometimes we did less meetings, whatever he wanted to do. That's what you do when you're in charge. You get to do whatever you want to do. And so, you know, and it's funny because my dad sometimes, oh, thank you so much for, you know, for speaking or whatever. Because I was really tired. I said, Dad, that's what I do. I mean, I speak. I mean, you just tell me when to speak and I do, you know. So that's just what, you know, I'm thankful for my sister. A lot of you don't realize how much she does for this ministry. You know, she's the one who puts things together. My dad and myself, we're not really good at planning things. And so, or taking care of any kind of details, you know, or anything. You know, I'm kind of giving you a list of things I'm thankful for because maybe you need to be thankful for some things. Sometimes it seems that we're not so thankful for a lot of stuff, and a lot of people are saying, well, they've had a crummy couple of years, whatever, we'll get to that in a minute. You know, I'm thankful for this staff. I mean, we have a wonderful staff here at Rhema Bible Church. You know, just awesome, awesome staff. You know, they care about you guys. I love you guys. And I know, you know, yesterday we were at a funeral. Pastor Bill, I mean, he probably is the best funeral minister ever. You know, I mean, you know, he's just awesome. You know, and it's so awesome. He's such a caring man. You know, and you know, I know that he's you know, trying to convey our hearts or my dad's heart, you know, to the church members. But it's just awesome, to, you know, whenever they say, well, you know, Pastor Bill, he's just so incredible. And so I'm not trying to brag on you too much, Pastor Bill, but you do a wonderful job. You know, he does a lot of the pastoral care here at the ministry, and you know, he's a wonderful man. I'm thankful for him. Thankful for all the staff. Yesterday, I'm thankful for all the employees, by the way, too, that work here at the ministry tirelessly. You know, a lot of times they don't get their names mentioned or whatever, but they do a lot of work. I'm going to name one person that I'm probably most thankful for, Byron August. That man, you know, he does a lot here. And there's been times where I needed something done and I didn't know who to ask to do it, so I called Byron and said, Byron, it's not your job, but can you do this for me? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. You know, and the one thing about it, whenever you tell Byron to do something, he does it. I mean, he's very, very, very faithful, you know. But really, this all stemmed from yesterday. We were at the Celebration of Life service for Maria Blanco, great lady that went on. She's watching down from heaven. I know she's watching. Because every time that I ministered, she wanted to make sure she watched. She was like my biggest cheerleader, so I know she's watching us from heaven today. And so we were there at right down the street, Floral Haven Funeral Home, you know, and that's where we did her celebration of life. And every time I go to Floral Haven, I stop by my grandfather's, you know, grave. And, you know, I think especially because it happens to be Thanksgiving time, I just was more thankful. And as I looked at that grave, and just so thankful for what my grandfather has done, not only for me, but for mankind in general. You know, a lot of us, we wouldn't, might not be here if it wasn't for him and his faithfulness, you know. And, you know, you think about the stories of when he talked about when he got married, he had 10 cents. He, you know, at that time, candy bars were a nickel. He bought 2 candy bars, and he said he started life with my grandmother, you know, with no money. So he says, basically, the only way they can go is up. You know, I'm just so thankful for what he taught me over the years. You know, obviously, he's my grandfather. But spiritually, he was the one who taught me. I mean, I started traveling with him when I was 3 years old. You know, 3 years old and traveled with him, you know, all the way till the day he passed away. And, like I said, I became a YouTube sensation. I watched myself yesterday on YouTube. Really was watching him, but I'm always behind him, you know, there on YouTube or anything. And so it was, you know, I'm just grateful, you know, for him and thankful for the legacy that he has given me. You know, and some people always ask, they said, well, is it tough to be the third generation? You know, is it hard to do that? No, it's not hard. I just carrying on, you know, the vision that God gave my grandfather to go teach my people faith. And, you know, we are endeavoring, we're getting ready to by the end of this year, we'll have over 100,000 Rhema graduates around the world, you know, and so excited. You know, I know that we, his thought pattern, you know, sometimes whenever we have our own thoughts, it's good that we can have our own thoughts, because sometimes if we thought what would really happen, it would blow our mind, we wouldn't be able to do it. And his thought was, if we could just train 50 students a year, just 50 students a year, we could do something about reaching this world, you know, with the gospel, with the message of faith that Jesus heals, that Jesus saves, and Jesus is coming again. You know, but you know, like I said, we're approaching 100,000 graduates. Once Brazil has their graduations, and they have like 60-something graduations, maybe more than that now, we'll have over 100,000 Rhema graduates. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the part that we're playing. But, you know, I'm thankful for the future. You know, it's an exciting time. And we need to be more thankful. You know, I know over the last year and a half, you know, not just this nation, but this world's been rocked by a dreaded disease. You know, a lot of people have been upset. But I'm thankful I've had my 2 best years ever. Now, why did I have my two best years ever? Because I said I was going to have my two best years ever. I said every day in 2020 that 2020 was going to be my best year ever. 2021 is a year of awesomeness. I haven't got 2022 yet, but anyway, it's going to be better than 2021 or 2020. In fact, I believe it's going to be as good as 2020 and 2021 combined. Now you say Craig, my 2020 wasn't good. My 2021 wasn't good. Well, that's your issues. You know, I'm thankful that mine was good, and mine will continue to be good. Every day, I'm thankful for what's going on. But I want to read some scriptures from starting with the Old Testament and the New Testament about being thankful. Because like I said, Thanksgiving should not just be one day of year. Thanksgiving should be, you know, all the time. In fact, my dad has a CD series out there. I guess it's available on MP3 too, called Thanksgiving, A Continuous Flow. It should be continuous. It shouldn't be a one-time-a-year thing. You know, maybe you can only put up with your family one time a year or something like that. That's why it's... But Thanksgiving should be a continuous thing. I guess I could go back to the history of Thanksgiving. After George Washington, you know, proclaimed that I guess it was the fourth Thursday of November that we should celebrate Thanksgiving. But later on, some other presidents decided not to do it. But then Abraham Lincoln started up again. And then pretty much from that point in time, you know, it finally became a federal holiday, you know. And, you know, it's awesome that we can have holidays where we can thank God. Now, I know some of you are just thanking God you get 2 days off. But, you know, we should be more thankful, you know, for God. In fact, reading from Psalms 136, I was reading this. I was only going to read a couple of verses. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But this is so, I started reading this and I'm thinking, man, you know, I got excited just by reading Psalms 136. It says, and I like the way the New Living says it. It says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. You know, that's enough just to give thanks to God because he's good. We serve a good God. We serve the God that's more than enough. We serve the God that's exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. We serve an awesome God. It goes on to say, I like the way it says it here, his faithful love endures forever. The Bible says there is nothing. Nothing means no thing. There's no thing that can separate you from the love of God. He loves you in the good times and the bad times. He loves you when you're unlovable or seem to be unlovable to everybody else around about you. You know, he loves you. I mean, just think about it. Somebody in this world loves you besides your mom. I mean, God loves you so much. And I've thought about this, you know, many times. You know, it says, you know, that for God so loved the Lord, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I actually, you know, I know this almost would be impossible to be for you to be the only person in the world, but I believe if you were the only person in the world, which would be kind of boring, but anyway, the only person in the world, God still would have sent Jesus to save you. I mean, that's how much God loves me, that he would. But anyway, it goes on to say, give thanks to the God of gods. I mean, you know, I understand back in the Old Testament, there were a lot of people that sacrificed to a lot of other gods. But this is the greatest God. This is the capital G-O-D. The God of gods. And it goes on to say, his faithful love endures forever. Every time it talks about giving thanks, it says his faithful love endures forever. It says give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. You know what? God is a God of miracles. You know, The Old Testament says, I am the Lord of God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We saw Jesus do miracles when he was on here on the earth. We saw, you know, miracles happen in the Old Testament. And I believe the days of miracles are coming upon us each and every day. That's why I talk about a revival to this generation, a revival to this nation. And I always confess signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. Because you know what? I think the time for more miracles is now. You know, but the reason we have miracles is because we believe we have miracles. You say, well, I've never really seen a miracle. Well, you know, because you don't think that can happen. You know, but give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who has made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule by day. His faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the night. His faithful love rules forever. And he goes on and talks about they brought us out of Egypt, all these kind of things. I mean, you know what? We serve a good God, and his faithful love still endures forever. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Every time, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always with you. You know, and all we have to do is call upon his name wherever we might be. But skipping on to the New Testament, you know, and by the way, if you read the Psalms, you're going to see that all the time. They talk about, you know, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, or his love endures forever. We serve a good God. We need to know we serve a good God. Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So, you know, all people means all people. People you like, people that you might not really like. What should we do? Ask God to help them. You know, that might be good. If there's some people that you're really not really happy with, well, ask God to help them, all right? Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. So you know what? We should pray for all people and give thanks for all people, because people are precious. People are the most precious thing, you know, in the world. Then I love Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20, New Living Translation says it this way. He says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. Now, that was New Living Translation. If we read the New King James, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should give thanks always, not just on some holiday in November. Now, one thing that many of you probably haven't ridden in the car with my grandfather, so you probably didn't know this. One of the things that he commonly had done, I've ridden in the car with him many, many, many times, and I don't know if I've ever ridden in the car with him, you know, for a long enough time. You know, sometimes maybe for only a 5-minute car ride might not do this. But almost every time I'm in the car with him, he'll just be sitting there thinking, and he would say, thank you, Jesus. Out of the blue, just thank you, Jesus. He would say that all the time. You know, and because he did that, I do it all. I mean, not even thinking, sometimes I'm just driving down the road, and so just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, that's giving thanks always and all the time. Now I do know, and I don't know if he got it from him or where he got it from, but Pastor Bud there in Brazil, whenever he was alive, I rode in the car with him. He did the same thing. He would say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many times I heard that. And then Guto, who's now over Rhema, Brazil, I mean, wonderful man, Guto Emery, I'm riding in the car with him, and he says it this way: obrigado, Jesus. That's thank you, Jesus, in Portuguese. I mean, I don't know how many times he'll say that. He'll say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You know what? It's a great habit to have. You know, there's a lot of bad habits in this world, but there's a good habit to have, to be thanking Jesus all the time, and that's biblical. You know, in all things, give thanks. We should continually thank the Lord, you know, number one, for he's good and his mercy endures forever. I mean, we should continually thank God for how good he is. You know, and sometimes it seems that maybe life isn't always going the way that you would like it to go. You know, and Even when you're at the gas pumps and paying more than you want to, you know what I say? Thank you, Jesus, that I have the money to pay for this fuel. You know, thank you, Jesus, that you're blessing me and taking care of me in spite of what's going on with the economy. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16, says this, always be joyful. You know, I try to always be happy. You know, there are times when I don't want to be happy, but you know what? The Bible says to always be joyful. Now, what does being joyful mean? It means being full of joy. Well, it says always be joyful, never stop praying. You know, the next thing it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Now, it doesn't say be thankful only when things are going awesome. It says be thankful in all circumstances. You know, you can be thankful in spite of things that are not necessarily going, you know, the great, because you can be thankful that you understand faith and you can call things that be not as though they are. And even though things seem like they're not really easy right now, I can be thankful because I know that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And I can be thankful even before I have that finances I need. Because I can be thankful that my God will take care of me in every situation. And see, that's what the pilgrims were doing. They were being thankful. You realize they lost half the people, you know, in one winter and from the ship and also the wintertime. But they were still thankful because they knew that their God, you know, provided for them. Now, many of them, you know, obviously lost loved ones. And you think, well, they can be mad at God. Well, God, why did you do this? And why did you? And I've seen so many people here recently just being mad at God. Well, you know, why should we be mad at God? We should just praise him. We should thank him. Because our God is an awesome God. You know, it says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I mean, it's not a suggestion. It's God's will. It's God wants you to be thankful for everything in all times, in the good times, the bad times, or whatever. You know what? If you'll be thankful, your bad times will not be as long. I guarantee you, because you know what? I thank God that he's getting me through this situation. You know, and there's sometimes, you know, the devil's trying to say, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. Well, you know, that always leads me back to the Old Testament, where Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I don't know how God's going to do it. It doesn't say for me to have faith and tell God how he's going to do it. I'm not here to tell God how he's doing it. I'm here to let him do it in my life. I'm here to show forth how good God is in my life. You know, I'm a living example of how good God is. You know, and I'm pretty excited most of the time. You know, especially when my football team wins. You know, that's really, really good. You know, Oklahoma State Cowboys are on a roll this year. Amen. I mean, they are now going to their Big 12 championship, win or lose next weekend. You know, and it was really nice this morning to be able to read some things where they're being talked about maybe after they beat Oklahoma the next two games here, or whoever they play, that going to the Big Four, you know, for the, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. No. And then the Dallas Cowboys are doing pretty good too, so that, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan through and through. I'm such a Cowboy fan, I wore boots yesterday, so and a Western shirt. So anyway, I did a Western theme wedding, so I wore boots and a Western shirt. But you know what? We should be thankful in all circumstances. And so here's the thing. This is what triggers me. A lot of times when I think about being thankful in all circumstances, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, I want you to remember this. The next time you have a circumstance that's not good, you know, where your mind's thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I want you to forget about saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, that you're taking care of this situation. Thank you, Father, for always being faithful. And then maybe you need to even use your Rolodex of a mind, if it's still there. Hopefully it's working real well. In Rolodex of a mind, to go back to another situation where you didn't know how you were going to get through it and how God provided. My God shall provide all your needs. I mean, you know, it's biblical. You know, here's the thing. I don't know how people are making it without knowing God. You know, yeah, I mean, they don't have anything to be thankful for because, you know what, I'm thankful for themselves. I'm thankful that I don't have to come up with all the answers. I'm thankful that God has given me a Bible that even though it was written so many years ago, it's so relevant for me today. And it's just so awesome. I'm going to go right here. The last scriptures I want to read is Philippians chapter 4. I'll start with verse number 4. It says, once again, and always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. You know, I mean, we always be full of joy. You know, people always ask me, well, Craig, how come you're always joyful? Because I always know that I have the greater one on the inside. That's why I'm always joyful. You know, I'm. That's why I'm always happy. And if I'm not happy, I start clapping my hands and I get happy. Because that's what I learned in children's church. All right, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. So sometimes I have to clap my hands by faith. But, you know, and the funny part about it is, I guarantee you, if you go through a time when you, for some reason you're not acting happy, if you'll start clapping your hands, you'll start laughing and get happy. Because if you think about, reflect back in children's church and happy, you know, clap your hands, or maybe you need to stomp your feet, whatever. I've done it. I've actually done it myself. I've started clapping my hands, stomping my feet, and then start laughing because, Anyway, it says, let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Here's what I want to get to, verse number 6. It says, don't worry about anything. See, you know, the great thing about it is I don't have to worry about anything because the Bible tells me not to worry about anything. You know, because I've had people tell me, well, you know what? You know that this is happening, that's happening, you know, and whatever. You know, the Bible says not to worry about anything. Yeah, but Craig, this is happening and that's happening, and you know, your gas prices are getting more, your food prices are getting more, your car prices are getting more, your house prices are getting more, and you know, if you need to buy something, you're gonna have to pay more money. The Bible says don't worry about anything. But instead of worrying, what should we do? It says pray about everything. All right? Now, how do you pray? This is exactly how this is Paul telling the church of Philippi how to pray. He says, first of all, tell God what you need. You realize, I mean, it's not that hard. God, I need more than enough money to pay for my fuel. I need, you know, in fact, you know what? Maybe one of your confessions is, you know, I know inflation seems to be going, you know, high. So why don't you ask God to give you, more than the inflation prices? Because he's a God more than enough. So however high inflation goes, that's how high, you know, the God will give you. He says, tell God what you need. But the next thing after telling him what you need, it says, thank him for all he's done. See, that's how we pray. We tell him, and then we thank him for being faithful to us and helping us. You know, and a lot of times whenever I'm doing this, I'll pick out a certain situation. You know what? God, thank you for getting me through that situation. I mean, you know, there's been many times in my life where I could have died, but I didn't. And I'm telling you, I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna fulfill the will of God upon this earth. Some people say, "Well, are you afraid?" You know, I travel a lot. Say, "Well, aren't you afraid you're gonna die in a plane crash?" No, I'm not afraid I'm gonna die in a plane crash. You know, number one, if I shouldn't get on the plane, I ain't getting on the plane. That's a deal I have with God. If I ever have a check about getting on a plane, I don't care who's flying, I ain't getting on that plane. fact, I told my grandfather one day when he was going to fly, and I had a check about it, you know, and it was our own plane. I says, I'm not flying on that plane tonight. He said, you told Brother Hagin you weren't going to fly in the plane with him? Absolutely. It's not his faith. It was supposed to be my, you know, my faith. I had a check about it. He didn't have a check about it, so he was going to fly in the plane. Later on that evening, he got a check about it. He didn't fly because, you know, maybe he started praying more because I told him I wasn't flying. Well, see, that's the thing. A lot of us, we want to depend on somebody else. I ain't depending on anybody else's faith. And no, I'm never going to get on an airplane. I mean, I travel a lot of airplanes that I have a check about. I've told, I mean, I don't care if I miss a meeting. It doesn't really matter. What's more important is I can preach another day. You know, I'm not going to do anything I have a check about. And that's something we need to understand. You know, I don't know why I'm saying that, but maybe some of you need that. All right. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Man, just thank him for all he's done. It says after we tell him what we need and we thank him for what we've done and that we're worried about nothing, it says then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What's so amazing is people think that we're going to experience God's peace after we get our blessing. It doesn't say that. Do you realize it doesn't say after whatever you're praying for comes to pass, you're going to have his peace? It says while you're praying, right? Immediately, soon as you pray, soon as you ask him what you know for whatever you need and thank him for what he's done, then immediately that peace of God that passes all understanding will overtake you. And you know, and the other side about it, here's what I'm going to tell you. Whenever you're praying for something, the next day the devil is going to come knocking and say, hey, what about this? So maybe you need to read him the word. Mr. Devil, the Bible says don't worry about anything, so I'm not worried about it. Now see, I had a great example. My grandfather didn't worry about anything. Nothing. All right? You know, even he tells a story, if you hear it, where he was standing on the porch one day with my grandmother and my father and my Aunt Pat. They were standing there. And my grandmother says, Kenneth, you don't worry about anything. In fact, I think if me and the two kids dropped dead right here, you wouldn't worry about it. He goes, of course not. What can I, if you're dead, what am I going to worry about? You already died. Now, I'm sure that wasn't the answer that she wanted to get. But the fact of the matter is, my grandmother's kind of getting mad that my grandfather didn't worry. But, you know, my grandfather, he always said he was a stickler for the word. If you're a stickler for the word, you're not going to worry. But what are you going to do? You're going to ask God, and then you're going to thank him. And that's the thing. We should be thanking God continuously every day of our life, not just on Thanksgiving, not just because you have turkey to eat or lobster or whatever you're eating. You know, we should be thankful all the time, not just because your favorite football team won. Not just because something happened, not just because you got a new car, which is pretty awesome. You know, that's like the set of prices, right? A new car. See, it's not a new car. It's a new car. You have to make that inflection. You know, and I can't think about Price Right without thinking about my mom's mom, Mrs. Tipton. I called her grandmother. She loved Price is Right. Every time I was at her house, we watched Price is Right. I mean, she loved it so much, we actually offered to take her to California to get on Price. Oh, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be on the show. Even though she sat there and would name all the prices every day, I'm like, man, you'd be good at it. So anyway, but you know what? We should be more thankful all the time. You know, in this holiday season, first of all, I want you to not only be thankful to God, but I want you to be thankful for your friends and your family that are around about you. I know that sometimes we have squabbles and different things like that. You know what? But you need to decide to be more thankful. I mean, you know, especially if you still have a mom and dad, be thankful that you have a mom and dad. They might not be perfect, but they're still alive and you can still talk to them. All right? You be thankful for your brothers and sisters. Be thankful for your children, your grandchildren. You know, be thankful that you're alive. You know, be thankful that you can wake up and say, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, God's a good God. And I want you to remind you to be more thankful in everything that you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you're ministering to them, that you're touching their lives. And Father God, help us to be more thankful. But we thank you also that you said that we should be thankful in all circumstances. So the next time that we come into an adverse circumstance, we thank you, Father, to help us to be more thankful than ever before, even in the midst of our struggles and trials. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's in this room and watching online. But we thank you, Father, if anyone be here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you that they'll come to the saving knowledge of him today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, across this auditorium, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Or maybe you're here today and you said, Craig, man, I know what it is to be saved, but I turned my back and I went away, and I want to come back. I want to rededicate my life to God. There's no better than Thanksgiving time to rededicate your life to God. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I've been going to church a long time, but my grandfather talks about what he calls a no-so experience. You know, you have to know that you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know whether you've done that or not, I encourage you this morning to raise your hand and to have a salvation knowledge. If you're here in this room, under the sound of my voice, and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or you want to have a no-so experience with him, lift your hand right now across this auditorium, and we want to pray with you. We don't like to ever have a service that we don't give someone an opportunity to meet Jesus. Because I tell you what, it's hard to have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Across this auditorium, anybody here? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person. I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will come into the saving knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You have something you want to sing, Dan?
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One.